I just said a few moments ago that this will be my last Sunday with you for a little while. Well, at least they're not all cheering. That's good. But this is the season when people start to think about journeys, about going somewhere. And as I was reflecting on how I respond to today and what God wanted to say to all of us, visitors and everybody who's here, I felt there was a very definite theme of journeying. So tomorrow is a different day for me. Lorinda, what's the plan for tomorrow? Where are we going? We're going to paint the house. Okay. Tuesday, what's the plan? Paint the house. Wednesday? Oh, Preston. We might go somewhere on Wednesday if we've finished painting the house. But actually, it strikes me that's what life is often like. So often we end up with the nitty-gritty of life. You have to just get on with it. And sometimes you get the chance to go somewhere and do something different. Here's my question. Where's God? How does God fit in when we go away on a journey or when we're doing something different? How does God fit into that picture? Well, the message I have for you this morning is that whether you are on your vacation, whether you are here in this building, whether you are relaxing at home or with family, in all those situations, when God invites us to go on a journey with Him, He's right there in it, all the time. This morning, I sense God wanting to say, to challenge us to get real about where we find Him everywhere. And I believe He has lots of things for you, all of you, over the next few weeks. And Jesus said something of those lines to the disciples in that passage that we've just read. He gave them an invitation to walk with Him. He was standing by the seashore and He was teaching the people around Him all sorts of lessons. And as He taught them, clearly He couldn't speak to all of them easily, so He stepped into a boat where Simon Peter, James and John were. And as He stepped into the boat, He said, let's just go off the shore just a little bit so that people can hear me more easily. And then He started to speak. So often, God invites us to begin a journey with Him. And sometimes, He invites us to be part of His much bigger picture. But then after He'd done the teaching, He said to the disciples, now I want you to go out much further and start fishing. But the disciples had been fishing all night. They'd caught nothing. And Jesus is telling them, they are fishermen. They know their business. They know how to do this. And here Jesus is telling them, go and fish out in the deep waters. They could so easily have said, I'm sorry, but you don't know what you're talking about. I know what's best. I'm not going to do it. But Simon Peter, had heard Jesus, and he knew something of who He was. And he said, because you've said it, I will do it. I will go. And as a consequence of him going, the nets became so full, they were at bursting point. So they had to get their friends to come over and bring their boats. And they loaded the boats, and the boats were so full, they almost began to sink. Because Jesus knew even more than these experts. I wonder if there's a lesson in that for us. I wonder whether sometimes we think we know best. And when Jesus invites us to do something, we're just a bit hesitant. But that journey for the disciples began when they stepped into the boat. Which gave me an idea for my last time with you. This just before I go away on a journey. I thought, how do I illustrate Jesus inviting us to come on a journey with Him? Well, you know what? One of the things that Jesus did quite often, He would take something around Him and He'd use it as a visual aid. So He'd take bread or a fig tree or the vine and He would use it to illustrate His point. So I thought, I need to do that. stepping into the boat with Jesus. So what I need is a visual aid, because it's my last day, and I'm a bit weird and like to do things like that. I thought we could do with a big visual aid. So would you help me out, Richard, please? Thank you. I'm just going to do a bit of preparation while Richard sorts my visual aid. Go that way. Great. Thank you, gentlemen. Do come in. Try not to decapitate anybody while you're coming in. If I take this end, well done, and just put that over there. There we go. Oh, that should be fine. See, I hadn't thought about it. When I was planning this, I hadn't thought I might have a pram here. So please, nobody light a fire, or I'll be in trouble. Stepping into the boat. That's what Jesus wants us to do, to come on a journey with him. And as I thought about it, I just thought, this illustrates so many lovely things about the journey that I believe God is inviting us all to be on with him over the next few weeks. First of all, what is this? Is it a boat? Is it a kayak or is it a canoe? Put your hand up if you think it's a canoe. Okay, put your hand up if you think it's a kayak. Oh, we've got more kayaks. And you're right, this is a kayak. They're different. A kayak has got a closed area. A canoe tends to be like this one, and it's open at the side. A canoe tends to have a single paddle, and you swap it. You have to keep taking it out. It's very energetic. You have to switch from one side to the other. It's slow. It's quite cumbersome. It's usually a lot heavier. It's a kind of workhorse, because they tend to fill them with a huge amount of stuff. So years gone by, for centuries, people have used canoes to do this kind of thing, moving things down and up rivers. But a kayak has just a small open area where the people sit, and the rest is a bit more protected. It's also really sharp and pointed at the front and cuts through the water beautifully. If you want to learn how to navigate a river, this is the one you want to use. It's so much easier. It's tough. It really can hit rocks and just bounce off them. You can grab it, scrape it along the bed of a river, and it won't matter. It's really tough. That is a kayak. But it gives a bit of an illustration of what it is to be on a journey with God. Because this is built for a purpose. And when God invites us to come on a journey with him, it is specific to our needs, to your journey. So often, we as human beings want to go with the canoe. We want to put everything of life, stuff the whole of life into it. But actually, God just wants you and him to go on this journey. And he wants to protect you. And he wants to guide you. And this will give you much more protection in much tougher circumstances. So the waves of life, when they're building up around you, this is the one that's going to protect you much more than a canoe. This verse in Jeremiah says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I believe God wants to take every one of us on a journey, and it's about you and God. Whether you are literally on holiday, whether you are here on a Sunday, wherever you are, that's the journey he wants to take us on. So that's the boat that we're talking about. One of the things about this particular boat is it's great to get away from everybody else. If you go to Dedham on a hot summer's day, if you pop over to Dedham this afternoon and have a walk by the river, you will be walking with hundreds of people. There'll be cows probably around the shoreline. There'll be dogs being taken for a walk. It'll be quite a noisy place. If you can find a patch of the river and get into a boat, you're going to have a quieter time. One of the things we love to do with this is just go to those untouched areas of the river. And there's nothing better for bird watching, for example, than this, because they don't hear you coming. They're not used to the people running, the people running around on the shoreline, on the well-trodden path. With this, you get to those quiet, secluded areas. That's one of the things that God has for you on this journey, to take you into those calmer areas. But you don't just jump in. I need some more visual aids. One thing is not big enough. You did quite well telling me what that was. What's this? Oh, very good. It's a life jacket, yes, but it is actually called by water sport people a BA or a buoyancy aid, which probably is going to interfere with my microphone, but we'll try. And it fits around you very snugly. So you put it on, zip it up, clip it on, and you're safe. You're secure. You're able to go anywhere with this thing. Believe me, I was in a kayak on Lake Malawi. Nearly said Kariba, but it wasn't Kariba because they have crocodiles. That would have been very bad. I was in Lake Malawi, and we capsized, and one of these allowed me, pitch black at night, to be floating in the water for quite some time before we got rescued. But that's another story. When the waters of life get choppy, you need to know that you've got something around you, that you are safe, that you are secure. The Bible tells us that God is the Lord of salvation. Where's my buttons? He's saved us and he's called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. We don't just step in to the boat and go on this journey with God. He calls us, but we need to accept his invitation of salvation. There is a barrier between us and God called sin, called our wrongdoing, and it keeps us from being on that journey with God. But in Jesus, the source of our salvation, he offers us the means to be safe, not just as you're getting into the boat, but for the whole of life, and crucially, eternally, to be safe with him. That's what God offers. Do you know that salvation? It comes when we accept, when we understand that Jesus died for us on a cross to take our sins onto himself. And so as a result, when we believe in him, he gives us that promise of eternal life. So now I've got the BA. I'm able to get into the boat, but we're not quite there yet. Have you noticed how many seats are in this boat? If I tilt it a little bit towards you, if I can do this. You see the two seats. Very comfortable seats. The seats can slide up and down on the bars and move around. They've even got a cup holder. Talk about comfort. Lovely padded seats. Perfect, thank you. Let's put it back down again before we have an accident. There we go. Two seats. When we come on this journey with God, he doesn't save us and then just leave us to our own devices. He's on the journey. He's in the boat with us. As God called Noah to come into the ark, as he called the disciples to come into the boat and go out, so he calls us to go on this journey with him. And there's something wonderful about this. He never leaves you to paddle on your own. He never abandons you. He always works with us. And it doesn't matter whether we are facing white water conditions in life, he's there in the boat with us. That's the promise of his journey with us. But it's not the only thing. A little bit more. It's all good and well having a boat. But if you run the risk, of course, of doing nothing more than just floating, being pushed around wherever the wind goes. That's not God's purpose on this journey that he wants to take us on. So we need something to give us a bit of oomph. And that's where these come in. You know what these are? So we have our oars. And this is what we paddle with. And this allows you to really move your way through the water. I've got them on the wrong setting, but never mind. Two of you are paddling in this particular boat, one at the front, one at the back. The beauty of being in a boat is that, you know what, when you get tired, when you are shattered, especially if you're sitting at the back, you can put your oars down just for a little minute and just have a rest your arms, and the person at the front doesn't know you've stopped. It's great. I normally sit at the back. Do you know, God has designed us for a purpose. He's invited us to go on a journey, and he wants us to go somewhere, to get to our destination. He doesn't want us to drift, so he gives us the resources, and he's in the boat, paddling with us, moving, cutting through the water in the process. There's something else wonderful about God being in the boat. Actually, usually, the person who is the stronger, the bigger person, is at the back, because then they can take more of the pressure, do more of the steering, and if the person at the front gets tired, they can just take over. When you're on your journey, you always have Jesus in the back. Do you remember that story about footprints? You know, the principle? And someone suddenly, along a beach, sees that God's been with them, but all of a sudden they're just one set of footprints. And ask the question, where were you when there's only one set of footprints? And God turns to them and said, at that point, that's when I was carrying you. That's what this illustrates about the journey that God invites us to be on. When things are tough, he's the one who carries us. He doesn't ever stop paddling, and he takes us forward. Remind myself of what else I wanted to say. I wonder whether, perhaps sometimes on our journey with God, we forget who's in the back. We forget who's the real power source. And there we are, frantically pushing, trying to negotiate our way down the river, forgetting who's really rowing and steering this boat. Let me ask you a question. If you're on a river in Britain, which side of the river should you be on? The left, the right, the middle. Interesting that we don't know. Actually, we're supposed to pass people coming the opposite direction on the port side. That's the left side. This side as we're going forward. So you keep on the right. Keep righteous is the way to remember it. Stay righteous. Actually, there are all sorts of rules, and if you're ever on a boat in Dedham, you'll know that it's just chaos, because people are going all over the place, and you've actually got to wind your way around them. But there are rules, there are guidelines, whenever you're on a waterway. In theory, a sailboat always gets priority over a motorboat, because they have that bit less control. A bigger boat that can't negotiate very well always gets right of way over smaller boats that could get around them. So those rules are flexible. The kingdom of God is just the same. And sometimes when we are on this journey and God is in the boat there with us, steering us, there are times when we have to adapt to take care of other people. maybe even slow down as we negotiate this passage. Here's a question for you. What is the right way for the two people to paddle in the kayak? With the two oars crossed or the two oars in line? What do you think? You're all thinking there should be this one in line. Absolutely right. When you're in your boat, when you're on this journey with God, make sure you don't get yourself all crossed up. You run the risk of clashing your oars. You run the risk of the splash from the person behind messing up what you're about to do. So get yourself in sync. Paddle together. Practically, for all of you, with whatever you've got on over the next few weeks, I want to encourage you. I want to ask the question, are you in sync with Jesus as he leads you in this world? Are you in sync with him? Or are you wildly paddling and actually getting yourself into a bit of a chaotic mess? The fastest, most efficient way of going down a river is when you are in sync. And our journey with God is exactly the same. Which brings me to one final question. Every now and again on your journey, it's quite likely you'd want to take a break. Just to rest up. With any boat on any waterway, what is to stop the boat from just drifting away? An anchor. So it is with this. It actually has an anchor. You're all looking at me, he's making this up. He said, all right, I'll buy some of the stuff he said so far, but an anchor? Come on, where's the anchor? Well, that's also in my plastic bag. It looks like a giant corkscrew, but it is actually a land anchor. So the whole point of this is that you get to where you want to be by the bank, and then you drive it into the ground and you tie the rope on the back so you don't go anywhere. You lodge yourself securely through the anchor. Which causes me, as I'm about to disappear away from you for a few weeks, to ask the question, what about your anchor to God? There's a verse in Hebrews that says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. How's your anchor? Are you attached to God? Do you know where your hope, your confidence comes from? So that whatever's blowing, whatever other boats might be coming and nudge you and push you along, it's not going to knock you because you are anchored to the God of this world who will steer you through whatever you face, however rough the conditions might be. You're anchored to the rock that is Jesus. My encouragement to all of you, whatever you've got on in the next few weeks, perhaps for some of you, you've got some challenging things to face. Maybe you've got some very long and arduous journeys to take. Maybe you've got some financial considerations. The first thing I want to ask, as you face them, are you trying to face them alone? Because that's a stressful place to be. Or do you know that you are saved, you are secure in Christ? Are you on your journey? And you know that Jesus is right there with you. And that when you get wiped out, he will keep going for you. Do you have confidence in the future? Because you have hope. He's your anchor. And you know he's not ever going to let you go. Because that's his invitation to you. That's his invitation to every one of us. He wants us to journey with him. Well, that's the invitation. And we're going to sing about that now in the final hymn that we've got, which is a bit of a problem for Sam, because I'm not sure how she's going to get up here. Bit of a negotiation. an old, old hymn that some people used to sing when they were at school that asks the question, I'll hold that on, it's embarrassing. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife and the strong tides lift and the cables strain? Will your anchor drift or firm remain?